Good morning, everyone.
Hopefully everybody can hear me very well. Well, it's a great day to be here, as always, and I am honored to be able to have the privilege among you this morning to be able to share a few words in honor of our graduates. And it's a great thing, isn't it, to be able to celebrate and to see good things happening in our lives and in the lives of those around us, to see great things taking place. And so we love that. We love the idea of great things. And what I think is really cool is, you know, not only do we know that we serve a great God, but that great God, like us, also likes great things. And the cool thing is where we see oftentimes in Scripture where it actually talks about with God's great plans, how he chooses to involve people like you and I in those great plans. And so not only do we have great plans and expect great things for ourselves, but we see that God, who is far greater than us, expects great things for us and concerning us as well. In fact, one place that I often find myself going back to that expresses that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's verses 9 and 10 where Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us, Christians, by his Spirit." And so I think that's a really, really cool thing to think that, you know, not only are we as human beings, you know, looking for those things and desiring those things for ourselves, but that God desires great things for us and wants to see great things happen in our lives and us to be a part of great things. Now, the interesting thing is I thought about what to share. real quick, I'll say that I have, as I often do, struggled a little bit to kind of find my bearing. And I've even laughed at myself and had some laughs with several people that know me. Some of you in the circle, you'll know once I say this, but as we talked about me preparing to do this little mini sermon or sharing, if you've been around me any group of time, you'll know that for a sermon like this where somebody gets up and speaks during an assembly time, if there's anybody that that would be able to give Matthew or Rodney a run for their money in having a very, very lengthy sermon, it's probably me. and so I've had to kind of keep that in mind. But again, it's really cool when you're able to look at those things about yourself along with other people and be able to laugh at yourself and laugh about that. But also to keep that in mind, you know, as you're moving forward. And so I do want y'all to know, especially those of you that know me, that I'm going to try to keep that in mind. Because, again, this really, it's not about me. Again, it's about, our graduates that we're honoring this morning. And even more importantly than that, it's about God, the God, great God, again, that we serve. Now, going back to what I was emphasizing there, all right, this idea of loving to celebrate and to see good things and great things happen in our lives and the lives of those around us. And God does as well. One of the first points, I guess, I want to emphasize for us with that idea of us wanting great things for us and God wanting great things for us is that although there's a similarity there, I maybe want to contrast two passages that show that depending on where our mindset at any given time or phase of life where we find ourselves, that we may differ with God in terms of why we want those great things for ourselves or the attitude behind it versus the attitude God has in mind with great things concerning us. And so the first one is in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. All right, so in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. Matter of fact, I'll start at 9. So the writer says, "I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And so I'm sure as you guys all know, the writer of this, who that is, right? Who was it? Solomon, that's right. Solomon. And what I love real quick, we're not going to, of course, take time to go through his whole story, but I think most of us are familiar with at least the basics of it. And it's really cool how you see where Solomon is granted this opportunity to ask God for whatever he wants, right? And he asks for wisdom, right? He asks for wisdom from God. And it's cool to see how that plays a part in some of the things he's able to do, judgments and choices he's able to make at times in his life where he expounds on that wisdom that God has given him. And he stays with it, as he mentions here. But we also know that there are times in Solomon's life where we see that it's highlighted where he did not stay with that wisdom. And he did not remain operating out of God's leadership. And so because of that, he ended up really, in my eyes, kind of going from one of the wisest men ever to maybe one of the foolish, at least in those instances. And how we can easily do the same thing. But why I wanted to turn to this verse is, again, you see that it says you look at his lifetime and you look at all the things that he achieved, the great stature and position that he had risen to. And yet, even for him, he's able to look back in hindsight and see where he was in error. It was a great thing to be marveled at by himself and by other people on the physical level and the physical accomplishments that he had achieved. And yet, in a sense, it's almost like he had achieved much and yet really accomplished nothing in that. And again, in the same way, I think there is maybe a warning for us as well that the same can take place in our lives, where we can pursue so much this idea of becoming great and accomplishing all these great things and achievements and whatnot, and in a sense maybe finding our identity, finding meaning in those things, and yet, like many, I think that we've seen in the world around us throughout history, like Solomon, and even today in the world, whether it be celebrities or people in your workplace or wherever in all kinds of walks of life, but they rise up to these positions and, again, they achieve all these things and yet reach a point in their lives where they're like him and they're looking at it all and it's like, what is all this? Right? There's no fulfillment really there. There's really no true reward. And so really for everybody, I guess, in this room, along with myself, but specifically to the graduates, I want to, as you propel forward, encourage you to keep that in mind, to not be like Solomon in this regard, and to want great things for yourself, like those in this room and all around you do concerning you, and like God does concerning you. But, again, to take the example of God and to follow it when we see that. And to say, well, yes, if I want great things, sure, but do I want great things for myself the way that God wants great things for me? And will I allow him to lead me into what I define as being great things? So I want to contrast that with another person that we know about, which also had some not so good things that happened in his life that are highlighted. But then we see he does things maybe in the reverse manner that Solomon did, where he started off really bad. And I think, feeling like he was doing great things, which is Paul. OK, and we know that, Paul's past life or the things that he had once accomplished, where he was a Pharisee. He had great knowledge and education, was highly revered among Jerusalem and a lot of the Jews and groups of people during that time. And yet they were not good things in terms of the impact that he had on the world, right? And they were definitely not great in God's eyes. And yet we know that then he goes on to be changed. And then the rest of his life, we see him changing the world for God. right, and glorifying him in that. And so, anyway, I want to look at a passage, if you will, that is spoken by Paul that I think contrasts the focus for the vision that he had at that point in time, okay? And this is in Philippians chapter 3. All right, Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold, yet to have taken hold of it, excuse me. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And so we see him pressing on towards greater things, right, like we've been talking about. And yet the greater things that Paul had in mind at this point in his life were far different than they were at one point in time when he was doing his own thing. He was doing his own thing, and he even thought he was doing them for God. And so in a sense, he had his own plans of greatness, and God was almost like an attachment, if you will, to add on to that as a seal of approval, rather than doing it the other way, which he did, and we see reflected here, which is he says, no, my vision is set and it's cast on Christ and on God and on heavenward, right? And I'm allowed to be an attachment and a part of that. And hopefully for us, as we see the great things happening in our lives as God unfolds it, and he calls us forward to even more, and we pursue those things, may we have that same type of mindset. And again, graduates, you in particular, I want to encourage you guys that, you know, as young people, as you move forward with so much of your life ahead of you, that you will take after the example of Paul, and you'll say, you know, hey, I won't just look at God as being a good thing to have as a part of my life, but really that he will be the center of my life. He will be that goal that my vision is set on, and as it's set on that, and I continue to maintain it being set on there throughout all the days of my life that he grants me, that will propel and that will carry me through into places and to being able to impact the lives around me in ways that I couldn't even imagine. One of the other things, I guess, that I wanted to emphasize, so that's that one thing, is God calling us to great things, but calling us to those great things through him and being centered on him and focused on him. The other thing that I like about this is it says, okay, well, he's casting a vision for us and where our focus needs to be set moving forward into our future. And you see that that's, in a sense, maybe contrasted with the past here by Paul. He says, well, while I'm pressing forward, I forget what's behind me, right? And I know that for me, in my years as I've read through at Scripture and passages like this, I've oftentimes taken things at face value. And so you just literally think he's saying, wow, you just completely forget everything like you have amnesia. And at least to my understanding, I don't believe that, you know, he is doing that there. You know, he's saying that I forget that. But at least to my understanding, what God has brought me to is that Paul is not allowing, again, those things that he did in his past and where things were in the past and all that stuff that happened and he said and he did and didn't do and my mistakes, my regrets, whatever. He says, I'm not going to allow those things to hinder me. I'm not going to dwell in the past, but I can use the past with God's help in order to help me through the future. And as a matter of fact, to continue to give me an anchoring so that as I go forward into the future, into the unknown, that I don't get lost or drift off into who knows where. And so the reason I emphasize that is I want to tie into my last main point, second point, which is that God calls our vision to be cast forward in the future. But I think he also, as he does that, casts our vision in the past to remember. And so what does he want us to remember? Because it's saying here, we'll forget. So do we forget or do we remember? And so at least I want to show one place where I think God wants our sights to ultimately be cast as our past is concerned, to remember and carry forward with us into the future. And so this is going to be in Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 7. Well, actually, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry. I'm going to back up again. I keep doing that. I'm going to start at verse 5. And so it says here, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so at least two places I think that I see here that God calls us to remember. Again, or set our sights on concerning our past. And so one place, I believe, is towards our leaders, he says. Remember your leaders. And I know, just like me, everybody in this room, if you sat and you reflected just for a few moments, you'd be able to, and maybe right away, as a matter of fact, because some of them are probably staring you straight in the face. I know this is the case for me as I look out into this crowd. But you think about the leaders that God has placed in your life, whether it be parents or extended relatives, mentors, teachers, all these different types of people that as you sit and you think about the impact that they've had on your lives and how that's been a great impact that has helped you to become the better person that you are today and will continue to help you to be that as you continue to reflect on those things that they passed on to you. And so how do we reflect on those things concerning our leaders and the impact that they had on our lives? And so he says, well, you think about what they taught you and the words that they spoke to you. And specifically here, he says that hopefully the center of that will be they're speaking the word of God and that they're feeding you with truth that comes from him ultimately. And that will be the thing, again, that will continue to give you a direction and an anchoring as you move forward and to so much uncertainty and so much unknown circumstances, there's one thing that will remain, right? And that's God's truth. And so hopefully those leaders have spoken those things to you. And then also he says you're able to look at and consider the outcome of their ways of life. And so, again, I think about my parents. I think about various leaders in this congregation and mentors and teachers that I've had throughout my lifetime. And, again, graduates, I'm sure you can do the same thing. You can look at that and say, man, I've been able to see these people. I've been able to see them live and act. I've seen them do great things. Maybe I've seen them do what we consider not so great things and make mistakes and fail. And yet, why consider the outcome of the way of life? And I believe it's what he's emphasizing when he says what we're to do thirdly, right? Which is to imitate what? We imitate their faith. We don't have to, you know, expect them to be perfect or to be perfect ourselves, at least in terms of physical stature and accomplishment. But he says, look at the way that their life has turned out because of how faithful they have been and stuck to God's word. And because of that, because he stuck with them and they stuck with him, how it's got them to where they're going to get to. And you want to be able to be a similar type of person. You want your life to have a similar outcome. Then you do what they've done. You do what they've done. And so that's one place that I see that he calls us to remember, is to remember our leaders in terms of our past and as we've been brought up through our lifetime. And then secondly, I would say, which is ultimately the most important piece, right? It brings all this full circle and is at the center of it. But I believe he helps us to be reminded ever so much that we're to never lose sight of who God is and what God has done in the past. Not only great things that we pursue that he will do in the future and that he's doing now, but to remember as we propel forward into those things what he has already done. Already done. Throughout scripture and the unfolding of his plan, as we're able to read about all throughout the Old and New Testament, and even today in our lives, right? We're able to see what God has already done. And hopefully that gives us hope and that gives us encouragement as we do, again, propel forward into who knows what in a lot of cases. Well, I don't necessarily have to know all the answers to all of that. And again, and to be perfect, but I serve a God who is perfect, and I serve a God who does know and has, again, already done great things. And so the evidence is there in who he is and what he's done. And hopefully if we keep sight of that, we're ever so reminding ourselves and reminding each other of those things, then I believe that will be the tools that we need and that are necessary in order to help us to continue to be great people moving forward. And so he highlights that by saying, never will I leave you or forsake you. Right? I didn't leave you then, and I won't leave you now. And then again in verse 8, he says, once again, let me remind you if you didn't catch it, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll always be who I am. And so stick with me. Anchor yourself in me. And then no matter where you go, no matter what you pursue, it'll be great because you're connected to a great God. And so I want to encourage us to that, to remember that. And so when you do move forward and you do pursue, don't get so far ahead in pursuing that greatness and those great things that you leave God behind. And you leave behind all the people that help you to get where you are now and to continue to be there for you if you allow them to help you as you move forward. So I want to end by reading a scripture that is at least part of maybe the prayer that I have in mind. In particular, for, again, you young people, you graduates, and really all of us, I think, can take note of this as well. But this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And starting at verse 11, it says, with this in mind, and so I'll stop there real quick to say, after all that we've looked at in these, you know, these last couple minutes, as I shared with you from God's word and reminded us of some things, maybe even pointed out some things that maybe we haven't taken a lot of time to give a lot of attention to up to this point, but need to moving forward. And so wherever you find yourself with that, with those things in mind, I want to follow by ending by saying this. We constantly pray for you, everyone here in the Central family. We pray for you that our God may make you graduates and people as a part of this family, worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may bring to fruition every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to end with that as my prayer for you guys and as a charge to go forth. But as you go forth again, continually remember and carry forward those things that God says that are useful in your past to anchor you and continue propelling you forward in the right direction that is not only great, but it's great ultimately in the God, eyes of God, and that will glorify him and allow you to be glorified with him and to bring others along in that process as well. And so I thank you guys for that. And again, to you, specifically to you graduates that are graduating, congratulations on what has been accomplished, what you have accomplished in your lives at this point. And I pray that you'll continue to do those things as you move forward.